Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time!
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be! And you know it!
With a tear in my eye!
The queen of the crop. Acknowledge me.
It's Saturday evening, episode 383 of Top Rope Nation. We're talking WWE Backlash from St. Louis, Missouri, which just went off the air a little bit ago. Jesse Velasquez and Ryan Drosty. Jesse, how you doing tonight?
That music just gave me a lot of life. I was dead like 10 minutes ago. And all of a sudden, I feel like going to see Karate Kid Legends with a couple of lawyers. How about you, Ryan?
Oh, no. The Karate Kid cheering section on this show. The center ad on the canvas tonight was, what was it? America's Foremost Injury Lawyers?
Murphy and Murphy.
Unbelievable. The shilling is just out of control. It's so tacky looking to have all those ads all over the ring apron. It was, yeah. Anyways, the show itself, Jesse, I got to tell you, I drove down from where I'm at in Iowa to a pay-per-view in St. Louis a little over a year ago, and it was well worth the 5-hour drive. If I had made the 5-hour drive for this one, I would not have been as happy driving back. I will just say that. 5 matches could have been an episode of Raw. I think... For the general WWE audience these days, I'll give you this. I think if you went to the show and you lived in St. Louis and you didn't have to commute a long distance and you were happy to pay several hundred dollars per ticket, you're probably happy that you got to see John Cena and the hometown guy, Randy Orton, in person. So if that's what you're there for, just to see those guys, to see John Cena one more time, you're going home happy. And for those people, I don't blame you. For me, I watch pro wrestling for a little bit more, Jesse. And I'm just going to give you my grade right away. I mean, it's very average show. Very average show. I'll give it a C. C is average. How about you?
I am right with you. Possibly C minus, and I'll give you a few reasons why here in a moment. I thought it was good until the ending of the third match, and after that, it just started going downhill.
Yes, the first two matches were very good. I thought the first match was maybe a little long. I thought they might have missed the peak on the finish on that one. The women's match with Becky and Lyra was pretty good. It was a little clunky at times, but they recovered. There was a couple of blown spots, but they very naturally went into something new. You could pick it out if you're watching closely, but they recovered nicely. So, I mean, that was a decent match, but yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. By the time we got to match number 3, it started to fall off a bit.
80% of the matches had outside interference involved. We had multiple ref bumps in the main event, and that wasn't even the worst thing, I think, about it all in that match.
Overbooked is an understatement on that main event. Let me ask you this right off the top, because I just got off Bleacher Report, and Jeremy Lawson and I were talking about this. Do you think Cena Orton was better than Cody and Cena, or vice versa? Which of the two matches do you think was better, the WrestleMania main event or tonight at Backlash?
Oh, up until the ending. Oh, all right. This is on the spot. I'm going this one.
I said this one too. I think it was better. It still wasn't great. Now, that said, I mean, the crowd was really into it. Some of that is it's Randy's hometown. They wanted to see him win the title. He had no chance of winning the title, but, you know, they wanted to see it. They popped for the big moves. I mean, it was finisher after finisher after finisher, mm-hmm. ref bump after ref bump. I mean, basically everything you could do to hide the fact that, you know, John Cena can't really go anymore at this point. I mean, I don't blame him. He's been away from the ring for a long time, and he's getting older. but they're definitely protecting him. You can tell in the way these matches are structured. I thought it was a little better than WrestleMania, which if you listen to our podcast, you know, I ranted on as being horrendous. That was better, but it was still really overbooked and not a great match, I didn't think.
This was one of the better United States, I would say lesser PLE crowds that I've heard in a long time. I think from top to bottom, they did a great job tonight. They were loud, interactive, and made this product a little more watchable, I think, throughout. I think it sailed until the main event.
During that main event, I mean, to tell you what most of the WWE audience is looking for these days and how maybe we're out of tune with that, you know, because they come for the promos and the entrances, and I think wrestling is very secondary to a lot of the current WWE audience. Not everybody, obviously, people like us, but a lot of them. They were chanting, "This is awesome," during the main event. That may have been the least warranted "This is awesome" chant I have ever heard in my 30 plus years as a pro wrestling fan. I mean, that's real bad. I said on the BR stream, I was like, St. Louis, you saw Ospreay and Danielson a little over a year ago. This here does not deserve "This is awesome." I am sorry. It does not.
I watched that match on its anniversary, and yeah, y'all were chanting "This is awesome" 4 minutes in. They barely did anything, and they went on to have one of the greatest matches of this century.
Yeah,
and I made this note after the Becky Lyra match. I said, "How many 'This is awesome' chants are we going to get tonight?" Because it happened in the opening match,
yeah,
the women's match, and then how in the main event? How in the main event? And I'm going to get to that a little bit later, Matthew Madrell, because that's one thing. You know the main event is bad when Kyle Ryan in the Facebook group, not once, but twice, has this to say. Ref 1 has been dead at ringside for at least 10 minutes, but Ref 2 gets a whole army to come check on him when he gets hit. Despicable. I'd be running to HR. And then this last one, how are you going to have two refs get taken out? Empty gorilla position to check on them. They all get taken out and the match just continues. Dumb.
You know what it was, Jesse? It was that law firm that they had advertised in the middle of the ring. They were concerned that these referees would sue management, so they had to check on the referee. They sent five suits out there to check on the referees. It's just absolutely nuts.
They took out the WWE Velocity roster from 2010 with Jamie yes, Noble Jamie and Shane Noble. Helms. I think Jason Jordan might have been taken out. That's a little bit above his pay grade. And his old tag partner made an appearance in a match.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, boy, it was overbooked to say the least. Yeah, we'll talk about the finish here in a second. You guys, hey, we got a decent crowd joining us right now. Good we know chat, everybody yeah. in the... Everybody and their mom, which, by the way, happy Mother's Day weekend, but everybody and their mom that has a pro wrestling podcast is probably live right now talking about this one. So if you are taking the time to join us live, we really, really appreciate that. Please hit subscribe while you're here, by the way, and, you know, give us that like, click us that like button here on the YouTube stream. That'll help us out a lot. If you want to support the show even more, you can become a patron of the show. There's a 7-day free trial. The link is here in the broadcast description. You are seeing the names of all of our wonderful patrons going across the bottom of the screen right now. We are recording TRN Classics on Backlash 2000 this Tuesday night. You can join us live if you're a patron and get the podcast version also exclusively on Patreon. We got almost 200 bonus podcasts over there. Sign up for the free trial. You will not regret it. Hell, give your mother a free trial of Top Rope Nation's Patreon. She'll appreciate it. I assure you of that.
Some of the finest folks in the United States and the United Kingdom, and you're about to get two more episodes heading your way next week because Unplugged will likely be recorded on Monday.
There you go. Another edition of TRN Unplugged 2, which is another reason to sign up for the Patreon page. And I see our friend Tim Jensen in the chat. Stone Cold Jesse V. I like the goatee, Jesse. I think it's a good look on you.
Thank you. This is getting shaved when the Timberwolves playoff run ends.
Okay.
I'm holding it up for solidarity. The Wild got knocked out, so now we just need the Wolves to pull through.
I think they could make it to the finals. We'll see. We'll see, but it could happen. I'm rooting for them. We'll see. Now, this main event, I have a couple of things to say about John Cena. We've been really hard on him as a heel, and most of that continued tonight. I'm not going to lie. It's very campy. He doesn't come across as very believable. He's still, You know, he comes out to the ring. He's got the merchandise theme for the hometown. He's got the St. Louis Blues colors on his merch, of course. Got the old theme song. He even does the "You Can't See Me" to the crowd. He works the whole match like he's always worked, pretty much, you know, outside of the belt shots to get the victory. He won with a belt shot tonight, just like he won with a belt shot last month at WrestleMania. We had, what, two AAs that Orton kicked out of right away, like in the ring. Then we got Orton use the AA twice on John Cena, both times through tables on the outside. We got like three RKOs in this match. Again, I mean, the live crowd liked that stuff, but it was all smoke and mirrors. You know, if you're a longtime pro wrestling fan, just kind of protect these guys. I mean, I joked on our stream we did on BR. I was like, if these guys go 20, 30 minutes, you know, I might pass out. And they did. They went like 27 and a half minutes or something like that, Jesse. It was a slog if you were watching on TV. I think if you were surrounded by that good audience in St. Louis, it would have been a lot more fun. But watching it on TV, it was a long match. Your thoughts?
I'm so glad you're still with us, Ryan. I truly appreciate that.
Almost.
I know we don't want to disappoint our audience tonight. I have to make this joke, and this is no offense to my favorite wrestler on the planet. In the year 2040, I do not want to see AEW represent with Will Ospreay versus Swerve Strickland in the main event of All In. Yeah. That's what the WWE is giving you right now, and they've been doing this for a long time when they feel like they're in trouble. This is the 94th match between Cena and Orton on television or a PLE. How excited can you get?
Yeah. I was kind of thinking about that too, because, I mean, so Randy Orton and Cena main evented, I think, SummerSlam 07. So 18 years ago. I mean, can you imagine if in the Attitude era they were headlining pay-per-views from like 1980? Like that's the equivalent, or like the late 70s, you know, like that's just mind-boggling to think about.
Would have loved to have seen superstar Billy Graham out there with a crutch trying to walk out with the hip with the like the Iron Sheik did at WrestleMania 17.
Oh, Bob Backlund against Greg Valentine at WrestleMania 14 or something like that. My God, can you imagine? That's what they're giving you. But again, the crowd liked it, so I mean, I personally think Trips is really suffering in the booking over the last couple of months. We talked about on the program a lot going up to WrestleMania. They're really slowing down creatively. And I mean, the build of this show was pretty lackluster too. Mm-hmm. Now, at the same time, you know, I think we predicted it on our WrestleMania review that they were going to do Orton and Cena because it was in St. Louis. So it was foreseeable. We knew they were going to do this. I'm fine with it. I didn't like it that much. You know, it's not really for me. It's for the people that want to see John Cena one last time in St. Louis and see their hometown guy, you know, so whatever. But I sure hope we get something more creatively satisfying over the next few weeks, because this is not doing it for me.
Yeah, you had your hottest angle nowhere near this PLE, nothing Seth Rollins related. He got a match with Jey Uso on Raw on Monday and made you believe there could be a title switch, which we predicted, by the way. We said that we could see that happening. So yeah, creatively bankrupt. They're getting very, very close. And I saw someone in the chat just saying that Raw's roster is very good right now, and they're just wasting it with these horrible ideas. You're getting zero arguments from me. I'd say more so in the main event portion, and then trotting out an announcer to get his ass kicked. That's the other one we'll get to later.
Yeah, so after Cena won, which, by the way, we got R-Truth coming out to save John Cena, because they had this like one-off backstage interaction a couple of weeks ago on TV about how like John Cena was R-Truth's hero. So I don't know, maybe as far as I can remember, the first time R-Truth has ever appeared in the main event of a pay-per-view. I don't know if it's ever happened before, but he came out and he saved John Cena when it looked like Cena was going to get the punt from Randy Orton in the corner. You know, after we had seen every other finisher in this match a million times. But yeah, and all the ref bumps that Jesse, you know, called out. And then ultimately, Cena wins with the belt shot. The AA, I guess, doesn't have the juice anymore. Can't win with the AA. Can't win with the five knuckle shuffle. It's got to be the belt shot. And he won with the belt shot. And then afterwards, I will give him credit on this, although it didn't get the payoff he was hoping for. After the match, John Cena got on the microphone, basically said, cut my music, I don't need any music. He told the crowd they suck. He was probably the most believable heel promo he's done, where he didn't actually come across like a guy, like I've said on this program so many times, where he's just like playing heel with a wink and a nod. He actually came across like he was pissed at the crowd. It was really good. But then you know what happened? They went off the air, and then on Peacock, they bring it back on the air as they're setting up for their post show, and then they're just showing what's happening in the arena. And you know what happened? This crowd chanted, "Thank you, Cena," at him. Thank you, Cena. He got a standing ovation as he walked up the aisle. This man who just cut an actual good heel promo. They don't want to boo him. Which brings me full circle back to WrestleMania, Jesse. He never needed to turn heel in the first place. Every single thing he has done did not necessitate a heel turn at all.
No, not at all. And I said it when right after Orton's music had played and they're about to cue Cena's music, you could hear almost 50-50, "Let's go Cena. Cena sucks. This isn't Orton's hometown." Yeah. Cena should be getting booed out of the building. Yeah, it's Pavlov's dogs. It's like Cena's retiring. We're on his tour. Yay, we got to cheer the guy. You don't.
I didn't Google this, but my God, Matthew Madrell coming through in the chat. Truth main evented capital punishment against John Cena. I had totally fried that out of my brain, Southern Fried WrestleCast. But yeah, wow. Any chance they swerve us, Blake says in the chat, and have Cena lose the title and then win it back again? I don't see that. I think he's going to have a fairly lengthy title run here throughout pretty much the whole summer. And, you know, like they got to get to Cena and Punk eventually. Punk's still wrapped up in this feud with Rollins. They're going to definitely run that match back just for nostalgia's sake. Everything about this is going to be nostalgia. Cena one more time with all these dudes. And you're going to get Cena Punk eventually. I think you probably do that for the title. So what do you think,
Jesse? That's quite possible. Will that be sponsored by Schwebel, Getz, and Sieben?
Yeah. Oh, these sponsors.
Yeah, yep. Cena's going to run out of challengers eventually, but he should have a lot. Just people lined up, but they're telegraphing it right now. We haven't seen Cody since he got booted, or since he lost the title at WrestleMania 41, too. So I got to think maybe his rematch is coming. Maybe he's the one that takes it off of Cena. It's possible.
Be interesting to see when Cody actually comes back. You know, they got this Saturday night's main event in 2 weeks. They announced officially tonight it's going to be Logan Paul and Jey Uso for the world title 2 weeks from now, and Saturday night's main event the night before AEW Double or Nothing. So it'll be a busy weekend for those of us who cover this industry. May is a busy month altogether, I would say, in pro wrestling, but we will be right here with you to cover all that. But I wouldn't be shocked to see Cody come back around Saturday night's main event, maybe just for an appearance or something, a promo. What's he been doing? It's very odd that you've built this company around this guy for a year. He loses the title and there's no follow-up. Like, wouldn't you do like a promo, like something? He's at his house, film something with him. I mean, they haven't even referenced the guy. He's just been gone, like nothing. It's very, very odd, I think.
Yeah, it was right after he lost Kathy Kelly, tried to get a word with him as he was walking away. And he said something, it was like 3 or 4 words, and he walked away with Brandy, and we haven't heard from him since.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, that was the main event. I don't really have any other thoughts on it unless there's anything you wanted to talk about there before we hit the rest of the show real quick here.
Oh, no. So I guess Cena won the all-time singles edge. I think it was like 13 to 12. I had no idea that they wrestled at the Brian Pillman Memorial Show in 2001.
Ah, yeah. Okay. I think our friend Kyle Ross might have been at that show. I got to check with him.
You should. Yeah. Be super curious to hear about that. Was there anything else that Michael Cole said during this match that was really annoying? No, it was pretty much the rest of the matches.
Well, let's start from the top. All right, so we mentioned earlier the show opened pretty strong. So Jacob Fatu, U.S. champion, defended in a fatal four-way against L.A. Knight, Damian Priest, and Drew McIntyre. Pretty strong match, I thought, overall. Mm-hmm. They went 18 minutes. There was a point a couple of minutes before the finish where Fatu went for his moonsault, and I think it was LA Knight got his knees up at that point. And I kind of, all the other guys had been taken out. I felt like that should have just been the finish, but they didn't. They went on a little bit longer after that. They ended up doing the interference spot where they brought out Jeff Cobb, who's now with WWE. You know, not a big secret that he was on his way there, but Jeff Cobb came out. We got Solo Sikoa out there. They ended up essentially taking out LA Knight when it looked like LA Knight might have the match won. Crowd actually booed at that point. Now, the crowd was very behind Jacob Fatu all through the match, super over. But then when Solo Sikoa came out and helped him win, then they booed, didn't want to see Solo out there. And then, you know, he got the win. And then when Jacob Fatu was walking off, he just had this like stunned look on his face. He maybe oversold that a bit, where he just looked very confused and he kept looking at Cobb. And that was pretty much, you know, the story coming out as Jeff Cobb, new member of the Bloodline, and his debut. But the match itself, yeah, really, really strong. Give me your thoughts, Jesse.
Yes, I like the Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre stuff with the with the choke slam from about 5 to 6 feet above into the crowd and through that table. I thought that was really awesome. It was a really good spot in the match, and Jacob looked fantastic.
I had the show on at that point. We were having dinner and my wife was kind of watching it. And right before Priest did the choke slam, you know, through the platform out in the crowd, he pulled down the straps on his outfit. Immediately, my wife's like, why is he doing that? Why does he need to do that? It's very awful. That's very strange. Why does he need to do that? I'm like, I don't know. That's pro wrestling. That means they're getting serious about things.
That's a great call. Exactly. It's those little tiny nuances. This is exactly why Ryan's getting those big shot interviews now.
So. Oh, yes. 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 We like your take. Here's the Young Bucks.
Yeah. Jeff Cobb looks small. That stood out to me quite a bit when he was walking up the aisle.
Way freaking smaller than Jacob Fatu. Yeah.
Yeah. And Solo Sikoa, he towered over him by like 4 or 5 inches.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess these two had a feud back in MLW, if I recall. I saw on the interweb somewhere too. Mm-hmm. Jeff can still work at his advanced age of 42. So good for him getting the payday. Mm-hmm. Jacob Fatu, he's just like I think I said, he's just going to have a nice lengthy run with this thing. And you take it off of him when you're ready to kind of bring him and elevate him to a world championship opportunity, much like you did with Gunther with the IC strap at WrestleMania last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of your standard fatal four-way, like a couple guys would get taken out, then they would work separate, like on the outside, as you mentioned, Priest and McIntyre fighting through the crowd. You know, there was spots where like everyone got their finish in one after the other. They always kind of do that trope. I mean, I guess the big thing coming out of it is no surprise again. Fatu just stood tall, had all the charisma, looked unbelievable. To me, you got to keep this title on him until he becomes world champion. He should not lose the U.S. title. He should have it until he challenges for the world title, in my opinion.
It's going to take a lot to defeat him. I mean, it's going to take multiple finishers, probably some objects. At least that's what it should happen. And I mean, good luck to whoever does. And whoever does, hopefully they're young and haven't been near the main event spotlight. Then they can maybe carry that torch and get thrown to the top when they're done.
Yeah. Yeah. So Jacob Fatu retaining was pretty much a lock going in. This was overall a pretty predictable card. Honestly, the match that was least predictable, I felt, was the next one, the women's IC title with Lyra Valkyria defending against Becky Lynch. Yeah, for those of you who have not been watching WWE, they won the tag team titles at WrestleMania. And then the next night, Becky turned on Lyra, moved the titles back to Raquel and Liv, and, you know, Becky's heel now again. And I think Becky's been doing pretty solid as a heel. I mean, this is a very short feud. We're only a few weeks in. But I did think that there was a possibility that Becky would win the IC title here, and then they'd have Lyra chase her. I mean, Lyra's had it for, what, over 100 days? They had it on the broadcast. So I thought you might get a title change here. Push came to shove. That was my pick, was that Becky would win, but she did not. Lyra retained. You know, as I said at the top, it was a pretty solid match. Couple of times where it got a little clunky, but they recovered quickly, where if you weren't watching real closely, you wouldn't even have noticed. I think this is a big, huge opportunity for Lyra Valkyria, obviously, to be working one of the all-time WWE women's greats and Becky Lynch, and holding her own against her, and then also getting the victory. So overall, I think they accomplished what they needed to. They had Becky go on this rampage after the match, you know, pissed off that she lost. They teased that Lyra hurt her nose just before the finish, like she had a broken nose or something. Not for real, you know, just work. But they sold that, so I don't think we're done here. But overall, I think it did what it needed to do, Jesse.
Yeah, the match overall was good. Like you said, there were some clunky spots. A couple of problems I had were Becky Lynch's facials at some point in time. It looked like a face she would make when she would be playfully angry at her daughter. She was just like, I laughed. I was like, Becky, you're a better heel than that. Come on.
Like scrunching her mouth together kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah, that didn't look good to me. Lyra's fiance, he outkicked his coverage. We'll just say that. That guy. Oh my heavens. It's like, congratulations,
I hope he's not watching.
To you.
I kind of had the same thought, I'm not gonna lie. It's like, who is this guy that's showing in the crowd that Becky is taunting? And they're like, oh yeah, it's her fiance. Okay. All right. Good for him.
Sure.
Good for him.
Yeah, maybe that's out of jealousy. Who knows? Yeah. I really have no idea. Yeah, because you look like he would be a guy that he'd hide behind an avatar on X.com and start posting comments.
It's all about confidence, man. I mean, hey, this guy, good for him. Good for him.
Yeah. No, I thought it was good. The ending was kind of odd, too, with Lyra holding on with one arm and kind of holding her nose and just like almost scraping stuff out of her eye. And another question, what was in her hair?
So I noticed that, too, because my daughters are pointing it out. And I'm like, did she get food in her hair? It looked like food or like someone had vomited in her hair. Mm-hmm. But then my daughter said she thought it was part of her costume and like on purpose. I have no idea. I didn't really notice it until late in the match. So if it was there all throughout, you know, I'd have to go back and rewind, but it was odd looking. If that was on purpose. I don't know why you would put that stuff in your hair because it didn't look great.
It was the second best match on the card. They do have really good chemistry together. Again, there was a couple of times where they flubbed, but got back on track. Yeah, I was stunned. I was convinced that Becky was going to be the only one to win a title tonight and have Lyra chase just because she'd held it for so long. And I think it would make Lyra a little more, I think, just sympathetic in the people's eyes and gain more confidence coming down the pipeline here.
Right, because I don't really know how you justify a rematch. I mean, she beat her clean. You know, they did the thing where Becky took off the corner turnbuckle.
Yes.
As a distraction. But like when Lyra went into the corner and supposedly hurt her nose, she went into the middle turnbuckle. So that really did not play a factor in that. I didn't think that ended up really playing much of a key part in the match. It was kind of odd. But no, you're right. I mean, like she pretty much won clean. So I'm sure Becky's going to complain and get a rematch or something. But to me, it would have made more sense to have Becky go over and then Lyra chase her to continue this feud. But we'll see what they do. They're definitely not done. But
yeah, she hit her finisher while the ref was trying to put the turnbuckle back together. And the ref took like a second and a half. It wasn't too long. And Becky kicked out, which was a little surprising. They should have waited a little bit longer, I think, on that.
Yeah. The finish was actually just then she just countered, like Lyra countered this pinfall roll-up attempt from Becky. And like you said, held the one leg while she held her hurt face with the other, but she still got the pin, one-armed. And pretty much right away, Becky attacks her, puts her in the disarmer, going crazy and, you know, whatever. That was it. But it was a solid match. I agree with you. Second best match of the night for sure.
Officials coming out again to break it up. Simple tropes of that with the WWE. A lot of the officials have been coming out. I'd say 40% of these matches lately, and it's getting to be too much.
Yeah. Then we go to Dominic Mysterio defending his recently won Intercontinental Championship from WrestleMania against Penta. And, I think I kind of mix up my podcast now, but I think it's come up on our show that, Penta has seemingly lost some momentum since his debut. And, you know, I think you saw that here where Dirty Dom was getting more cheers than Penta was. You know, the crowd is really much getting behind Dominic Mysterio at this point. And even for a guy like Penta, who's only been around the company now for, 3 months or so?
Yes.
They were definitely way more behind Dominic in this match. What did you think of this one?
I liked it up until the end, and Dom hitting that dive through the ropes into the DDT was one of the better moves I've seen out of him.
Mm-hmm.
He has definitely, awesome. Yeah, he's improved a fair amount in the ring. I think I'm going to try to call my shot here, and he's going to turn face at SummerSlam. I don't think you can hold out any longer. You're going to have to turn him face at some point because the crowd's really getting behind him. They really appreciate his charisma and his ability to just draw responses from fans. As for Penta, who some people I've heard are calling him one of the top five in-ring performers in the WWE. It's laughable. He's a shell of his former self, and he's doing fine. He's earning a paycheck, but I think it's pretty clear if he's losing back-to-back matches to Dom for the Intercontinental Championship that this is his plateau. He's not going any further. Hopefully he sells more merchandise.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I think since they have worked together a few times now, like you can tell they got some chemistry in the ring. Dominic's elevated his game a little bit, but I mean, yeah, it says a lot about the long-term potential for Penta in WWE, which is exactly what we've said since he arrived there. It's going to sell a lot of merch, be a mid-carder, really no different than he was in AEW. Honestly, probably actually had a higher position on the card in AEW, given that he held, you know, tag team titles and he was pretty much treated like a big deal most of his run there. We're already starting to see him slide down the card here in WWE.
Cole made mention of his TNA world title and his AAA Latin America title. Of course, didn't he say tag team championships across various promotions?
Yeah.
So yeah. And then two other things on this with Finn Balor, just kind of delaying, grabbing the chair and interfering again, they're kind of telegraphing something's going to happen between him and Dom. And like I said, I would love for that to happen. Dom going face. And then Michael Cole, this is a really hilarious thing that he said in between the Becky, Lyra and Penta and Dom match was, let's see. Oh, yes. Many consider AJ Styles versus Finn Balor a dream match. This way they're promoting the Raw in two nights. And I said, yeah, we saw that almost 7.5 years ago here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, when it actually was a dream match.
Yeah.
Now it's two guys that are over the hill and they can't work.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. It was an odd night for commentary. I think we're going to reference that in the next one here. Mm-hmm. Probably a little bit, but yeah, no, I mean, to your point about Dominic ultimately probably splitting with Judgment Day all the way by SummerSlam. I mean, that, again, it played into the finish. Carlito was out there. He was trying to distract the referee so Finn and JD could interfere, but the referee caught him. He ejected them all from ringside, and then out comes Chad Gable, El Grande Americano, who hit Penta with a headbutt while the Judgment Day was being thrown out, and that allowed Dominic to hit his frog splash and get the pinfall. It was a decent match overall. Dominic had ring gear that was paying homage to Psychosis, which was kind of cool. Nice little note there. But yeah, no, I mean, it was, I'd call it third best match of the night. It was decent. Yeah.
Like I said, it was up until the end for me with Gable interfering. And I said, oh, so now they're allowing Canadian destroyers like left and right here on the roster ever since Penta makes his way to the forefront in 2025. When before they're like, nope, no pile drivers. Now they're coming up everywhere.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Michael Cole is out there to cheer on, of course, from the ringside area. His usual table mate, Pat McAfee, who is out there with the former world champion in Gunther. I mean, it's whatever. You know, this is pro wrestling these days. Should Gunther be wrestling Pat McAfee on a PLE? Probably not. You know, as a one-off, whatever. I said this on the program last week. I'm not that insulted by it. You know, Pat has had some good matches in the past. Now, this one was not one of them, but he's had some decent matches when he's been in there. This match was mostly him selling, you know, and Gunther dominating, and then them making you think at the end, because, you know, Michael Cole was out there just trying to ramp up McAfee and, you know, will him back to victory. And you thought, oh, maybe he can pull this off. But I mean, pretty much Gunther dominated the entire thing, which is how it should have happened, Jesse.
Yes, and before the match started, he said, I've been unbiased pretty much my entire career, but tonight I'm not going to be. You got Gunther attacking announcers and just for us trying to do our job, to which I replied, what about that anonymous GM gimmick back in 2011 or 2010 when you were completely biased throughout that whole thing?
Yeah. Yep.
Michael Cole. Yeah. And Pat McAfee loses to Vince McMahon at WrestleMania 38. I won't live that down. That guy should never win a match again.
It's true. It's true.
Mm-hmm. He's got good athletic ability. I will say that for he's a former athlete. I think if you really wanted to make him somewhat credible, you should make his punt-like kick like a formidable-looking move, which I think Gunther did once or twice, but not effective enough. And those chops that he threw, by the way, which weren't too bad. I'm really glad that Gunther no-sold those and just chopped the crap out of them. So,
I mean, even stuff. The kick, it was like, Gunther just kind of got mad about it. You know, like it was, or whatever. Like, as a former punter, you could certainly make that a bigger deal. But, mm-hmm. I mean, in the end, when he lost and he ends up losing, you know, to the, I guess, the modified sleeper that he puts on, you know, on the mat, he puts him to sleep. And then, like, they're telling us on commentary, oh, you know, it was, you know, Pat McAfee never really had a shot. And, like, Wade Barrett is going on and on about how, oh, you know, everybody knew Gunther was going to win. I'm thinking, like, what? Well, why is that the way you're selling this match? Like, then why was I even paying attention, you know?
Countless times, by the way, when Gunther would take advantage on Pat McAfee, Michael Cole would look at him screaming on commentary, you've proved your point, now pin him and get it over with.
Yeah. Yep.
He said that at least a half a dozen times.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was, they were hitting you over the head with the fact that McAfee didn't have a chance here. So, and then they told us in the aftermath, he never had a chance. So, you know, whatever. It was not a very good match at all.
Kicked out of that sleeper. It took him way too long, I think, to pass out as well. He should have went pretty close to immediately to sleep.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, it seemed like he was going to come back for a second, and then he went out. Yeah, I mean, it was probably about what it was, 14 minutes. It got less time than the opening two matches. They probably could have done this in like 10, cut off a couple of minutes. I would have given more time to Dominic and Penta, probably, which went 9:20.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Flip those matches. Yeah. Penta, Dom get 14, and Gunther and McAfee get 9:20.
Yeah. So it's not a great match. At this point, the show had kind of turned, and then we were going right into that main event, which went over 30 minutes with the entrances, but in-ring was about 27, 28 minutes. And yeah, the last two were not very good, Jesse, and that definitely took the grade down for me. But the first two matches are worth watching if you didn't see the show, I would say. The rest, not so much, really. Maybe Dominic Penta up until the finish is worth watching.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys hold up okay through the BR main event and everything? Were the people turning in there rather quickly?
Again, it was just like WrestleMania. Usually on those BR shows, the chat room is very pro WWE because we're in the WWE section on the BR app. So anyone watching that is because they like WWE on the Bleacher Report app. So usually they're very pro WWE. But I showed the screenshot on here, you know, after WrestleMania, where most people were given, the majority were given that main event an F when Cena won the world title. And tonight it was the same thing. Extremely negative on the main event. And I mean, these are the WWE fans. These aren't AEW people, you know, that are hate WWE and they're very tribal or anything like that. No, these are like the most pro WWE fans. I've been doing those streams over there for 2 years, and the last 2 months have been the most negative responses I have seen. A lot of people were mentioning the ticket prices even in the chat room. Boy, I'm glad I didn't spend money on that show to go sit in $300 seats for five matches. You know, so there was a lot of negativity, I will tell you that.
Cena has looked old and slow since he went to Hollywood, because when he's come back in the part-time role, he's looked outclassed by, of all people, Austin Theory, Solo Sikoa, and then the usual legends like Roman.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah, you can tell he's a lot slower. He's a lot more limited. Cena put on an STFU at one point. It was the most awkward looking STF I've ever seen. Like, his body was twisted in the wrong direction.
It wasn't that bad at WrestleMania 41 against Cody, but he also put on a pretty soft STF on him.
Yeah, that one was, I mean, he always does it bad where like it doesn't look like he's clamping down on their head at all. And that was the same thing tonight, but it was this thing where like his lower body was twisted like a 90 degree angle, but it was twisted like away. It was twisted away from Orton. And then he was like turned the wrong direction. And then he had his hands around his head. It was very, very strange looking. I commented on it during our show tonight.
It's been doing DDP yoga.
Yeah. I was trying to find a screenshot of that poll we put up, but I can't quite find it. From the BR show, like I did during WrestleMania. I'll have to remember to do that again next time. But yeah, I can definitely tell you, a usual pro WWE audience was pretty darn negative on this one tonight also.
I took a glance at X.com, maybe 3 minutes worth, and I would say 75% of the comments I saw were negative towards this main event.
Yeah. I mean, there's just nothing on the show that screams PLE. Like, Jeremy made the point in our post show, he would have been mad if this was a Raw main event.
Whoa.
Let alone a PLE, you know?
I don't know. I mean, there were zero commercial breaks here. Do you think it could have used it?
Probably would have made it better, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Gotta go to the bathroom. Good. There's a commercial break. Hurry up.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyways, that is Backlash. Any other thoughts on it that we didn't hit?
Not really. Like I said, that St. Louis crowd, I felt represented. They did very well, and they were unfortunately not rewarded with a very good product on this night.
I just found the point in the show where I had the poll up, so I'm going to screenshot this.
All right.
It was a 42% D or F live on the Bleacher Report app tonight with, again, some of the most positive WWE fans. Let me upload this and I'll put it on the screen here. Just
42%. Okay.
So, I mean, again, these are not people trolling. They're people tuning in. There we go. Grade the main event. 42% D or F, 38% C, and then A, B, 13%, and 8%. I mean, overwhelmingly pretty negative, you know, so. Hey. I don't think we are out to lunch on this, Jesse. I think people agreed with us for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, yeah, the show was fine until like the later end of the middle. I mean, if they could just kept it consistent, I think I would have given this a B minus, maybe a B.
Yeah.
Just wasn't enough.
Probably when we were within that third match, I was probably leaning B for this show. Mm-hmm. B to B minus, I would say. But definitely the last two took it down a little bit.
Got to do something with Gunther right now. He's got to get away from announcers' feuds and to get into something real.
Yeah, agree. And Jey Uso is world champion. I mean, he's done all right, but I mean, I kind of feel like you need to get that title on Seth Rollins to make his new faction feel bigger. So after he beats Logan Paul at Saturday night's main event, you know, I'd have Seth coming out of this Punk feud and taking the title off of him personally.
You could do worse.
Yeah.
You could definitely do worse.
Yeah. We'll see how it plays out in the months ahead. We'll be here with you guys. We appreciate you all staying up with us and talking a little WWE backlash. We're going to talk more pro wrestling. You can join us in the Facebook group. Search Top Rope Nation Pro Wrestling Discussion. You can follow us on social. Jesse, myself, we are on Blue Sky. Top Rope Nation's on Blue Sky. You just go to the Top Rope Nation Blue Sky page. You can find the links to our profiles. We are on X, but just not as active there as we used to be. I'm on Instagram. You can find us on Instagram. Find Jesse Velasquez on Instagram as well. But yeah, that Facebook group is usually the best place to interact. And as I said at the top of the show, if you really want to support what we're doing, there's a couple of ways. Number one is to join the Patreon page. You can scan that QR code on the screen right now or click the link in the broadcast description and get your 7-day free trial. That gives you full access to all of our 200 bonus shows, and including TRN Classics coming up this week. So this would be a great time to join for the free trial. You get the newest show. You get TRN Unplugged dropping this week from Jesse as well. Or you can join as a YouTube member. TRN Plus, it's called. If you're on YouTube right now, you probably see the join button next to our username. $2.99 a month gets you access to TRN Classics, every video version of TRN Classics, some TRN Unplugs. You don't get the full archive of the shows like if you're on Patreon, but you do get the last 2 years of TRN Classics and every new video version of TRN Classics. You know, if you want the podcast version, Patreon's the way to go, but it's a little cheaper. It's another way that you can support the show. If you're in our live chat, if you are a member here on the channel, your name has a little badge next to it, so you stand out from the crowd a little bit, get featured on our channel homepage, that kind of thing. So worth doing. $2.99 a month. Not much of a commitment, but you get some bonus shows from us too.
TikTok is actually doing pretty well from a Top Rope Nation perspective. I know you haven't shouted that out much. And then Justin Joint, our third host, he'll be back with us next week, which he is much needed. The poor guy's been going through a lot these last couple of weeks.
Yes, and he was landscaping today all day long. He sent me a picture, and he had like a yellow glove around his leg. And when I glanced at it, it looked like there was a yellow snake wrapped around his leg. And I got very scared when I first saw Justin. I said, I thought that was a snake at first. He said, no, you would have heard me screaming all the way across town. That was a yellow snake.
Was it Damien?
Damien is ready. Yeah. Yeah, so Justin will be back very, very soon, as will we, because as I said, Tuesday night, we're talking Backlash 2000 over on the Patreon side. So, sign up, join us for Backlash 2000. Our classic shows are the cream of the crop, Jesse, yes. Our best content. According to our listeners, you won't want to miss it.
A lot of fun stuff. I'll hit AEW somewhat hard on that show, and then, of course, ECW's 1995, reviewing Enter the Sandman.
Yes, very nice. Yeah, he's been doing the 1995 ECW watch along or reliving the year, and that has been an awesome, awesome listen because I didn't watch it in real time, and I'm learning a lot. So it's good stuff.
Yeah, fun watch.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, hey, enjoy your Mother's Day weekend tomorrow. Celebrate the ladies in your life. Do not forget, whether it's the wife or your mother or your grandmother or whatever, give them a call. Give them a gift. It's worth it. Do not forget them, please. All right. Jesse, it's been a blast, my friend.
As always, Ryan, close the show out. I'll give three words on the way out the door.
All right. All right, everybody. We will see you all next time. Take care. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Let's go, Wolves.
Wolfpack is back, causing mass destruction. Guess you see it, the bad boys are wrestling. Testing competition, win the war, that's their mission. Not no mercy, see the ring start the streak. If you don't know, you better find out the Wolfpack. Here to prove a point, number one, best believe that you don't want to tussle with them. I'll be there for them, come in the ring with them, you're never walking out again. Don't turn your back on the Wolfpack.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.